Blog Talk Radio.
Let me do housekeeping right now.
as a two-time breast cancer survivor and a chronic disease educator, and now a COVID master survivor, as I was told to call myself since I've mastered the COVID. I can't take any credit for that. I give all that credit to God because I couldn't heal myself and make myself better. That's who did it. I want people to understand that I bring experts on this show who know more than I do, and they know what they're talking about, and they're certified. So when you ask questions, I bring on those who can answer the questions. And my mother and dad used to say, if you're the smartest person in the room, you've got a room full of dumb people. You can't be the smartest person in the room. You've got to bring people in who know more than you, who understand what the conversation is about, and who you can pull from and learn from. All right, so that's who you want to surround yourself with. We're going to dive into these questions because you guys are woo crazy. So I want to start with the one that everyone kept answering. How is it not faithful that I have a work husband and a home husband? My work husband is just my play husband at work, but my home husband is my home husband who takes care of all the bills. Look, Maria, I've heard this so many times before. You can't have both. I'm going to give that to you.
Yeah. I mean, wow, such a good question. We could write a book about this.
Yeah.
I have written books about it.
Yeah.
The thing is that, like, what faithful is, what fidelity is, ultimately is an agreement between two people, is about transparency and is about honesty,
mm-hmm.
and is about really being able to look each other in the eye and together decide this is what our relationship, our love needs from us,
mm-hmm.
and this is what being faithful means to us.
Yeah.
And if one person decides, well, for me, that's totally okay, and the other person is like, well, no, that's the weirdest concept ever, like,
yeah.
that inherently won't work. So I'm less about making rules that go for everyone, but more about, like, can we in our relationship actually be fully honest and fully transparent and create our own structure that will support our love? And if one person gets, you know, scared or feels insecure or feels jealous because you're connecting with multiple people, then probably that's not really serving the love,
mm-hmm.
right? So then
right.
that's not the greatest option for us. But it's really about the communication between the two people and really making your own informed decisions based on what you need to feel safe and loved.
I like that.
That makes sense?
It does make sense,
mm-hmm.
because I hear that often. And, you know, I know that people play like that. I know people who have said, I can't wait to get back to work because I miss my husband. And I'm thinking, you miss your husband? You're with your husband every day. And they're like, no, my work husband. It's like, your work husband? Really? You know, I know growing up in my teens, maybe that was fun or funny. I mean, in my 50s, 60s, it's not funny or cute anymore. And to me, it's disrespecting your husband who you lay beside every night. So I don't even understand that. So, but good. That was a good answer. Now we've dispelled that. Everyone should have a clear pattern of what she just said. So the next question is, when dating and meeting someone, how much is too much as far as information?
Yeah, great question.
Mm-hmm.
I almost want to say, there is no too much when you get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you're dating, you're in this sort of weird situation that you want to get to know each other because you want to decide if you want to continue into something
right.
together, right?
Right.
And in order to decide, it is really helpful to have as much information as you possibly
yeah.
can.
Yeah.
So I would say, do not hold back. Like, if you go into the dating world and you know you want to find a husband and you want to have a child in the next year,
mm-hmm.
please say so on the first date.
Yeah.
Right? So that
yeah.
the other person has that information and can say yes or no to that.
Okay.
If you have a very, like, if you're carrying deep wounds and deep trauma and you need, you know, you need the other person to know that to be able to support you in that, please share so, even though it's vulnerable, it's an act of respect and it's an act of love to share vulnerably as soon as you can.
Yeah.
Plus, you invite the other person to also share vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oftentimes, like, someone has to sort of break the ice.
Right.
And if you can find the courage and the self-love to do so, you also invite the other person to do so.
Wow. Got a lot of great questions on there. I don't even know which one to start. Well, let's start by doing this. So, Maria, before we jump all into this, tell them all about you. I know you said you're from Holland. You are a relation love coach and a relation coach. So tell them why. Why did you jump into the relationship coach? Can you hear me? Uh-oh. I don't think she can hear me.
Yeah,
okay.
Totally. So, I mean, I've always been fascinated by relationships, by
okay.
connection.
There we go.
And I was not really good at being in relationships. I was always the one who left as soon as there, you know, was trouble, as soon as there was friction. I was the one who left. And at some point in my 20s, I started to realize, well, actually, if I wanted to stay in a relationship, I have to learn some skills. And we don't learn at school how to maintain a relationship.
Yeah.
We don't learn at school how to deal with conflict. We don't learn how to actually move through challenging moments. So I started to educate myself and had the blessing of meeting an incredible elder. He's 91 now, a relationship expert. And I sat with him for many, many years and really learned from how he works with couples. And learn the long-term perspective. Like when you're 91 and you've been in a marriage for 50 years, there's a long-term perspective on relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I started
wow.
to learn my own, you know, psychological makeup, attachment wounding, and what I actually need to be able to sustain a relationship and a marriage.
Yeah.
And realizing that I actually could do it, even though I thought I was not capable somehow of being in a long-term relationship,
mm-hmm.
realizing that, oh, actually I am, of course I wanted to start supporting other couples and people in that same journey. Because I feel it's like if we learn to heal our wounds in love and if we learn to actually love and trust our partner,
yeah.
that ripples out into all of our life, into all of our friendship, into all of our relationships, and the relationships with the earth.
That makes sense. And, you know, I often say that the seniors and the elders know a lot more than we'll ever know, and we need to listen and learn from them, especially before they leave this earth. They can teach us a lot if we're willing to listen. A lot of problems, I think a lot of our problem is we're from the microwave era, where we want everything instantly. We want love instantly. We want the relationship instantly. We want the satisfaction instantly. And, you know, relationship takes time to build. It's not a microwave relationship for a lot of us. So that's just my opinion. But this is one that I've often wondered. It's that my sister is going to propose to her boyfriend this weekend. I think it's immoral and I think it's embarrassing. Please help. How do we tell her that it is the man's job to propose to the woman? Or what do you think about that?
Oh, interesting. To me, like, honestly, I grew up in a very liberal country. So a lot of this is culturally informed.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we learned how, and also emphasized by media, by movies, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I don't think there is one universal truth on it.
Mm-hmm.
But so I really think it's up to our hearts.
Okay.
I personally think it's quite beautiful when a woman proposes. But if you feel like a strong emotion around it, I do think it honors the relationship with your sister to speak with her.
Okay.
Not to necessarily convince her of something else, but perhaps be curious and ask her, like, hey, how does that feel to you? Why are you excited to propose?
Yeah.
What does that mean to you? And just to get some more of her perspective, because I bet she's thought about that and, you know, has feelings around that. So perhaps there can be curiosity to, like, what makes you make this decision? I'd be curious to hear that.
That's a mind-blogging decision. I couldn't do it. I'm sorry. You're a better and bolder sister than I am. I couldn't do it. Before my husband, I think I had 4 marriage proposals. And, you know, I used to always say, it takes so much guts to get down on your knee and sweat and prepare and plan and get the right ring and, you know, get this. I don't want that pressure on me. So I could only imagine how a man feels, but now we're doing it as females. You know, I want to marry him, so I'm going to go and get him. And also with me, I understand what you're saying, but with me biblically, it said, you know, the man findeth a good wife. So if the wife findeth a good man, you know, is she not blessed in that relationship was one of the questions. So I guess, like Maria said, it depends on where you are and where you stand. If you believe in biblical scriptures, then that's what you base your relationship on. But I could never ask. I'm glad my husband asked me. I could never ask them. That's a good thing. You're a bold sister, power to the people. So, So it says, the next question, my husband refuses to take care of my children, but we have one together which he spoils. I'm ready to leave. Maria, how can we fix this?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I see this a lot in combined families,
yeah.
Right? Like there's the children from one and perhaps also children from the other, and then perhaps there's even a child that you have together.
Right.
And there is a certain distinction that people often make between my blood child, so
yeah.
To say, and the children that come in, right? And
right.
Perhaps even tied to how they relate to your ex,
mm-hmm.
Or do not relate to them.
Right.
So the most important question to or conversation to have is to really speak to what it means to you and what it would mean to you if your husband would show up for your children differently. So rather than starting out with, like, blaming him, speak the hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, speak how it
I
makes
like
me
that.
Feel. It makes
speak
me feel
hurt.
Sad, or it makes me feel alone, or it makes me feel like I'm super overwhelmed because I'm taking care of 5 children. Like, speak the feeling,
mm-hmm.
And then let your husband know how he could support you and what that would mean to you. Because
yeah.
We want a happy partner, right? Like,
right.
We do.
Right.
So if you were to... Again, rather than blaming him, but if you were to say, like, you know, if you would just spend one day a week with those children and really make your best effort to build a relationship,
yeah.
It would mean so much to me. It would make me, it would make my heart feel so cared for, right? Like,
right.
Very likely your husband will be like, wow, yeah, I do see that means a lot to you. And maybe I can support you in that.
Yeah. I think a lot of times, too, it's just like you said, speak the hurt. I don't think we have open conversations. We think our spouse can read our mind, and they can't.
Exactly.
You know, they
exactly.
And if they had telepathic powers, don't you think they would have had the lottery numbers, right? So
exactly.
I always say that. If they had telepathic powers, wouldn't they be out doing something else? But we have to really have an open
right.
conversation and tell them, like, I always assume my husband knows what I'm saying. And it's like, why didn't you do this? And he's like, I didn't know you wanted me to do that. It's like, how did you not know, you know, you wanted me to do that? And I'm thinking, because you didn't open up your mouth and say it, you know. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I have to say, I need you to pick this box up. I need you to take the box outside because I don't want the box in the house. And I've been looking at it for a week, and I'm mad, and you don't know why I'm mad, but I'm mad because the box is in the house. Can you get the box out the
exactly.
house, please? And it would have taken care of everything the first 24 hours, right, instead of waiting
exactly.
a week. Like, you know, he's looking at me like, how am I supposed to know you wanted the box out the house? You never said anything. And it's like, well, you should have known. I'd always
right.
joke with them. Use your telepathic
right.
powers. They're good for something, you know. So you're right. Speak the hurt and let him know from your mouth. Say it. And a lot of times that eliminates the problem. But this leads into the next question, which you guys all, I think I had like 10 of the same questions, which was, my husband makes more money than me, but we split the bills down the middle. How can I tell him I can't split it down the middle anymore, and why can't he handle all of the bill? Help.
That's a very, very important conversation to have. Like, you know, relationship struggle around power, money, sex. Right?
Yep.
Like that. Those are the the big three. And in terms of money and finances, I think it's really important to start talking about what are we both contributing to our household and to our relationship. And that is not always money, right? Like this is the age-old discussion around, you know, women taking care of children. Like, no, you don't make money with that, but you should because it's a lot of work.
So
we're talking not about equality in terms of money. We're talking about equity. Like, what are we both bringing into our capacity, and what non-monetary things are we bringing to the relationship? And then when we talk about the bills, we can also be more equitable rather than equal, right?
Right.
Like if we decide, okay, we both give 50% of our monetary income to the relationship, that might be different for me than it is for you.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what equity is. And perhaps, you know, I give a non-monetary contribution to the relationship that is essential.
Right.
And that you are not giving.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm still stuck on liking Speak the Hurt. I think that has to do with Speak the Hurt, too. If you're struggling, especially with most of us struggling now with COVID, I'm pretty sure he understands, and maybe it is everyone should have a conversation about budget and budgeting and where you are and who needs to handle what. Again, if you don't open up your mouth and let him know you're struggling, he might be struggling too, or maybe he's waiting for you to say you can't handle it so he can say, I can't. You know, I did, or he doesn't know because it's the norm.
Yes.
You know, you pay half, he pays half. Tell them if you can't. This this is a dining room discussion. You know, put the kids in the back room and let them have playtime and have a dining room discussion about what you can handle and what you can't handle anymore. And I think a lot of times, again, that open conversation will eliminate a lot of the problems because you're right. A lot of there's three of the main problems, power, money, and sex. Those are the three. Speaking of sex, here we go with the next one. My husband can't. My husband and I don't and can't have good sex anymore. I'm not even going to ask why. And for the past 2 months, I've been cheating. I'm not leaving my husband. I just miss having sex. My question is, how are you cheating during a pandemic? We're all on lockdown. How are you getting out of the house? My question is, do I tell my husband he's cheating because of that, or do I just leave things alone because things are great and everybody's happy, including me? That's a tough one.
Wow. That's a deep question.
That's a deep question.
I will recommend, like, one woman that I respect a lot in this field, Esther Perel. She's written very, very beautifully about sexuality in long-term relationships and also infidelity. And sort of raising these questions. So I think there are, in a way, like, we need more background information. If you and your husband cannot be sexual, like, is there intimacy?
Yeah.
Like, is there connection? I think that is a very important question. Because if not, and then having infidelity, you have a big risk of just very quickly drifting apart very, very far.
Yeah, because she didn't give us a lot. Yeah, she said she's not leaving. Everybody's happy. Everybody's good. They just can't have sex.
I personally think that it is very, very, very hard to keep to your secrets for your husband, who is your most trusted person, right?
Yeah.
So imagine that he feels something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Truly, if we're truly intimate with each other, if we're truly connected to each other, it's really, really hard to keep something that big
away.
Secretive, and telling it later may cause a lot of hurt.
Yeah.
Right? Like, then it's like, wow, this has been going on for a year. Oh, my God. Like, that is such a shock. So, wow, if you want to start opening up that conversation, because it is the most honest thing to do, I would really lead with, you know, why, like, how is it making you feel?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you longing for in the connection with your husband? Like, because infidelity can lead to a breakthrough. If the angle can be, okay, this is what I'm experiencing mm-hmm. with this other person, but I want this with you. Like, this is what I've been missing in our marriage.
Right.
I want this with you. That
right.
can get you back on a path of finding that again.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
And again, speak the hurt. You said that I'm going to
yeah.
answer. That's my answer for everything.
Yeah.
All these questions is
yeah.
going to be what you said the first time. Speak the hurt. Again,
yeah.
no telepathic powers. No one's married to Superman, and there are no superheroes. So no one can, you know, they don't have mind reading capabilities. So a lot of times if you talk about it, have a grown folks discussion, or the old folks that used to say come to Jesus at the table meeting, then a lot of these problems can be eliminated. But this, oh, my gosh, get ready for this one, Maria. This is a, I'm going to ask this. I scratched it off, and I think it's important. It says, I used to be a man, I'm now a female, in a great relationship, and I've been asked for marriage. When do I tell my soon-to-be husband, I used to be a man and I cannot have children? Now?
Wow.
Now?
Wow.
Now!
That's such a... such a vulnerable question.
That is.
I can really, really, really feel the vulnerability in that, and also the desire to speak. At least that's what I'm assuming hearing this question. It's
right.
like you do want to tell, and I would say if there is that desire to tell
mm-hmm.
sooner rather than later,
yeah.
probably would be good. But really make sure that you emphasize in that conversation how incredibly vulnerable it is and what a courage you need to muster up to speak this, and how important it is for you that your partner really takes time to listen to you,
mm-hmm.
To not blame you, to really hold a safe and loving space for you to share this. Because, you know, there might be a reactivity, but hopefully your partner will completely understand why it's taking time to tell something like that, right? Like why that's not something you've shared before. And just thank you for the courage to wanting to bring it up before you're getting married.
Well, I think you should. And again, how do you – I've always wondered about relationships like that, because for me, like, I wanted to see my husband's baby pictures. And, you know, when he was in high school, I wanted to see those pictures. So, and I've heard this scenario before, you know. So to me, it's like, how do you – how are you in a relationship for years and you've not seen baby pictures? You've not seen, you know, high school pictures. You've not seen prom pictures. You know, how do you get away with that? Are you saying you were in a house fire? I mean, are you saying that you guys moved and you lost it in storage? It's not that I'm nosy. I just like history. So I love looking at all the pictures on the wall and, oh, that's you, you know. So how do you explain that with no background, especially nowadays social media? You can type a person's name and they'll show, you know, them. So how does that even work?
I imagine it's been a big burden in a way already to keep that hidden. Like there must have been a lot of thought and energy put into that. So,
yeah, no cousin slip ups,
yeah.
no best friend slip ups, no parent slip ups. That's a big secret. And again, you know, does that turn into mistrust? You know, so
Hopefully it turns into, you know, thank you for sharing. I understand how big this is for you, and I understand why it took you time before you revealed it. Hopefully it turns into respect from your partner.
I hope so, too. So you're listening to IITG
Season
3. I'm Victoria and Russell Walton. You can reach me at 301-683-8690. And we have with us Maria Anna Winter. Please tell them how to get in contact with you.
Yeah, go to my website, www.marieannawinter.com. There's all kinds of free resources. You can reach out to me through my website. I'm very happy to be in conversation and hear your questions and connect.
Awesome. So those are some reasons how you can get in there. We're going to do a little housekeeping right now. We want to do the reminders that we've started our support group, IITG support group, and it is open to all that have dealt with cancer. We're focusing on cancer and chronic diseases, but we want to make sure that our sisters and brothers are taken care of. As a two-time breast cancer survivor, I find it very important that we share information, especially with our numbers now tripling in the community of those dealing with cancer, because we didn't get our mammograms for the past 19 months, and we didn't eat the best, and we didn't exercise. There are a lot of things we didn't do, but one thing we can now do is get our mammograms and follow up with our doctors, and we want to make sure wherever you are, that is something that you're doing. Please look forward to the invitation to join our group, and we are excited about having you on our team. Also looking for volunteers. If you want to volunteer and come in to the house, IITG house, and help build, support, and empower and inspire, we'd love to have you. We're looking forward to a big meeting next month to have our pop-up in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and here in Washington, D.C., in October in the name of breast cancer. So we're looking forward to our pop-up shops, and we call that our pinky parties. Everybody knows about our pinky parties, the infamous, famous couch with the famous balloons, with the pink podium, with the pink everything. I'm not having pink hair, sugar. Pink hair does not look good on me. We will not be doing that. But everything else will be in the name of supporting for breast cancer. So we're looking forward to you guys coming out in those areas and supporting us. If you want to get involved, please reach out to us again, 301-683-8690. So please reach out to us. And also, you can always hit us up on Facebook. So we're going to dive back into it because we have 24 minutes left and we still have a lot of questions to go through. Our guest today is Maria Anna Winter from Holland. She is a relationship love coach, and we are so excited about having her here. We're talking about dating during and after COVID and relationship issues. So, you know, we've got a great question, which is, what are some great dating sites? I don't even know how to flirt anymore. How do I find a man? Help. You forgot how to flirt.
Wow. So funny. I mean, it's such a personal question in a way. Like, I feel like there are so many different dating apps and dating sites depending on what you're looking for, depending on your own interests. You can really filter out quite a bit, which I think is great. You can go on a spiritual dating site, or you know, you can really choose your angle. You know, flirting to me is really being yourself, being in curiosity. And I think the best thing for flirting is to not take yourself too seriously, and in a way, like, not take any, like, if you can take it a little bit light, and you know, maybe you made a joke that wasn't quite as funny, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, you're just putting yourself out there. You can even tell your partner, I don't even know how to flirt. Like, can you do a little flirting move with me? You know, be open, be not too serious about it.
I agree with you 150%. Flirting is fun, especially now that we're doing it home with Zoom and StreamYard and all of these social media platforms. You get the opportunity to interview people, and you don't have to go anywhere. You know, you can say, next, swipe, or that didn't work out, you know. So now you get the – and to me, as long as you're not giving out your address, excuse me, I think it's safer. Don't you, Maria? I think it's – I like this.
Yeah.
I have single sisters, and I really don't want them to date because, to me, there's so many crazy fake people out there. You know, you go out on a date, and you're not seen from ever again. So I'm afraid for them. You know, and we are old school. You know, my sister will tell you, I may go a little overboard. I want your license plate number. I want to see your license. You know, I want your mama's maiden name. I want your thumbprint. You know, push it right here. I want a hair sample. Because, you know, you can't really tell who's crazy and who's not crazy. And, you know, people are, I won't say mental health is huge, but mental health is huge. People don't know how to accept no anymore. I kind of like interviewing and dating during COVID because you're on a screen. You know, you order dinner, he orders dinner, you two eat the same thing, and act like you're in a restaurant together, you know. So I don't envy women that have to date right now because, again, it's dangerous. It was always a dangerous world, but it's really dangerous right now. So I like that dating. I like the interview. I think you should continue that even though the world is opening up. I think you should continue to interview during Zoom and, right, Maria, what do you think? Zoom and,
yeah,
and other...
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, you know, maybe in other times you would have a phone call first, but why not come on Zoom and just see each other's
yeah.
face? And it also, like, we're not in a rush when we're dating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes there can be a feeling of rush, but if you really want to get to know someone, it's worth your time.
It is.
And it's a good filter to see, like, oh, is someone willing to just come online with you and just have a conversation before meeting up in person? I think that's a beautiful screening.
Ugh, I think it is, but I think this next question is going to hurt. I see my best friend's husband flirting in the grocery store with other women all the time. Do I tell her?
Happens a lot.
Yeah.
I would say talk to him first. Talk to him first and tell him, hey, this is what I see. This is how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
I care about my girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
And I want you to care about her. Are you going to have a conversation with her, or what is this about?
Yeah.
You know, speak with him first, because you don't want to get in the middle. That's a really, really rough position to be. You don't want to get in the middle. You want to take care of their relationship.
Right.
So speak to him, and also speak your care for him, right? Like, I also care about you and about your relationship. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Can you let me know what's going on? And maybe he can tell you, like, oh, yeah, I'm having conversations with her, whatever. And if the answer isn't satisfactory, you can share with him, well, you know, I would really like to talk with my girlfriend because I
yeah.
love her.
Yeah.
You know, is that okay? Do you want to have a conversation first? Can I support both of you
mm-hmm.
in a conversation?
Mm-hmm.
To really show up as an ally to the relationship.
I like that. And, you know, if you see him doing it quite a bit, maybe one day you call her up and tell her to get to the grocery store as fast as you can. She can go over and ask him all the questions she wants, and she can observe her husband. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a kissing cousin. I don't know. But, you know, what do you think about calling the wife up there and you and the wife walk around the grocery store just to observe him a little bit?
I would still talk to him first.
Okay.
Because I think it creates more trust.
Okay.
And I think the thing that we don't want in our relationship is mistrust. Like,
okay.
Ooh, let me, like, I'd rather have an open conversation than, like, if I would get a phone call from a friend, like, go to the grocery
hey.
Store now, I would already be suspicious and I would already be stressed. Whereas
yeah.
I'd rather be curious in a way. It depends a little bit on the relationship. Like maybe it could land very well, but for me it would be very stressful, I think.
Right. I understand. We're going to have some heated questions here on out. I'm going to save the last 15 minutes for the hot topic. So here we go. I have been sleeping with my best friend's husband their entire marriage. Matter of fact, my two children are his children, and it's appropriate that they're the godparents. But my son is asking who his father is, and he kind of notices his godfather coming over all the time. Is it time to tell my best friend the truth? That is crazy, Marie.
Yeah.
What's your opinion about that?
it is time, and it's not going to be one conversation, right? Like,
no.
This is really a conversation that he wants support with, and that he really want to prepare, and that he want to be prepared for the impact
you
that
wanna,
this will have on
you,
everyone in the system.
Yeah, I think what you also need to do is take all the knives out the house, take all the guns out the house. You want to make sure there's
yeah.
no stun guns under the couch. Could you imagine your best friend saying, not only have I been sleeping with your husband, but my children are his children?
Yeah.
How do you even do that for years? Doesn't say how old the
yeah.
children are. It doesn't say how long they've been married. But and why would he even marry your best? Why didn't you just marry him?
Some questions I don't understand. It happens like more often than you would think.
Yeah.
And like again, like we need to become honest, right?
Yeah.
Like we need to get clear with the truth.
Right.
But please prepare it. Prepare it well and be prepared for the impact.
Yeah.
And have support. Yeah.
I don't even understand. That's mind-boggling to me. To me, why even marry her? And that's going to hurt so many people. It's going to hurt her. It's going to hurt you. She may hurt both of you. You know, you don't know the mindset. You know, you think you have a friend and a husband, and you don't. So, wow, that one was deep. But, you know, we've got some more hot questions. Are you ready to go?
Sure.
Okay. IITG Seasoned Sister Speak. I'm your host, Victoria Russell Walton, a.k.a. Maryland's Big Diva. And on the show today, we have Maria Anna Winter, who is a relationship love coach from Holland, who's giving us some advice. You can always find her on her Facebook website. And if you can't, you can always reach out to me, and I will send it over to you. I'm not answering questions. On my cell phone, you've got to type these questions in, and I'll read them over. You guys always want to cheat. So without further ado, we're going to jump into the next questions. We're talking about relationship love before, after, and during COVID, and, you know, how to fix relationships and marriages if you don't know how to. One of the things she said was speak your heart, which is awesome because your spouse does not have superpowers. They may not know what you're thinking, and they may not understand. So, I'm sorry, UPS is dropping something off. So, you know, they may not know how to ask. So that's a good question. Relationship and dating etiquette. How do you – I don't even know how to ask that question. I'll just read as she wrote it, Maria. So it says relationship etiquette. How do I tell my husband what I want? That's all I want. I don't want anything else other than the list of demands I've given him. That's the question. The list of demands she's given him. You gave your husband a list of demands. That doesn't sound like a relationship to me. It sounds like a contract.
I don't know if I understand the question right, but I think you're talking about a conversation about needs that you have. The thing with needs, though, is like, it's very important to speak them
mm-hmm.
as clearly as you can. Like we've been saying, you cannot mind read.
Yeah.
And it's also very important that you can take a no.
Yeah.
Right? Like your partner will not be able to fulfill every need of yours,
mm-hmm.
which is not to say that they cannot validate it. Right? Like
I can
speak a certain need. Like I would love for you to always, before we go to bed, look me in the eyes and tell me how much you love me. Right, might be a very important need for me. My partner can say, I totally understand that need. I can't give it to you for this and this reason. But I could, like, do that 5 nights a week, right? Like,
then
you're in a certain negotiation, and I think that is at the core of a relationship. Like, you're trying to get everyone's needs met, and you're also learning to be with the uncomfortability that sometimes your needs are not going to be met.
Mm-mm. Not all needs will be met, but to have a checkoff list doesn't help. I think that's pressure. I think that's a lot of pressure.
It is pressure, and it makes much more sense, again, what we said in the beginning, to actually say why you have those needs. How does it make you feel? Like, always share the feelings with the need.
I agree with that. So Maybe you ought to put that list away and have a conversation and talk to your husband instead of coming in with your checkoff list and saying what he didn't do and what he did do and how he didn't do it and why he did. To me, I just think, again, that's a contract and not a relationship. But this is a good question. My marriage needs professional help, and my husband seems to think that's his mother. I don't want to talk to his mom about our problems. How do I get him to understand we need help other than his mother?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, explain to him, how does it make you feel, right? Like, why does it not feel great to you? I think there are two things. Like, he can have support from his mother. Like, that's beautiful, and he can do that as much as he wants.
Right.
And a relationship needs, the support that a relationship needs has to come from someone who's impartial, right? Someone who is not deeply connected to one person and differently to the other. Like, someone who can really be like an honest witness and not be judgmental one way or the other. I think that is the essence of relationship support, and it can be both ends. Like, he can still have support from his mother, for himself.
Right.
But the relationship needs a third person that can be a clear witness.
I like that. So I'm going to just answer all of the next ones as much as we can. So it says, my husband wants my mother to move in with us, his mother to move in with us. We've been married 20 years. If she moves in, I am leaving. This woman hates me, and I hate her. There's no way she can have the house, cat, dog, mouse, fish, fence. Good gracious. I am out of here. How do I tell him? If he, and I, how do I make him understand I am serious? She moves in, the same day she moves in, I move out. Wow.
Yeah. Okay, wow, this is a great question and also points to something that happens when we polarize very strongly. Like, one person wants this and the other person says, no, if that's the case, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
If we get into that much of a polarization, we need to slow down, first of all. We need to slow down.
Yeah.
Because there is more to be listened to and there is more to be understood from each other's point of view, because clearly we cannot make a decision when we're this polarized. So it really comes down to having a series of conversations and really speaking what it would mean to you if your mother-in-law were to move in. How does it make you feel? Like, rather than saying, I'm out of here, let your partner understand, it makes me feel awful.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like I walk on eggshells.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like someone who hates me is in the house.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be able to understand that that's an awful feeling. But he might not be able to understand if you just say, oh, I'm out of here. It's like, well, why?
Yeah, where are you going?
Like, where are you going? They can't understand. So really share the feeling and proceed with this or that.
Mm-hmm.
If he really, like, he also needs to be able to share why it's important to him that his mom moves in. Like, there are reasons there. So he also, at least he needs to share that and for you to validate. I understand you want your mom to move in, right? Like, probably he has really good reasons for that.
Perhaps there
even needs to be a conversation with the mom. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, and some boundaries. Matter of fact, there are a lot of questions here around relationships, marriages, and mother-in-laws. And this says, my mother-in-law will stop by our house, come in our house, do our laundry, cook dinner, and leave. My husband loves this. I hate it. I don't want my mother-in-law washing my underwear.
Yeah.
That's a maid service. That's a maid. I don't know. I don't know if I would like that or not. It's like you come, you're washing clothes, you're cleaning the house, and you're fixing dinner. I might like that as long as you're leaving. As long as you leave and you're not staying.
I mean, it's so personal, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's so personal.
It is.
And again, like, talk to your partner. Let them know how it makes you feel and how you can have a conversation with the mother-in-law about it.
Yeah.
I think that's just the main key point is, we come with the conclusions to our partner, like, oh, if this happens, I'm out. or like, this is just awful, rather than actually sharing the process, this is how it makes me feel.
Yeah. Again, speak your hurt, talk about it. I don't know about that. Maybe leave the laundry alone and just clean up and cook dinner and leave. But then, you know, you were going to be judged on how your house looks when you leave it. You know, excuse me. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I cleaned your house. Girl, I cleaned your house. Our house was a mess. You know, so that borderline is not there. I get it. I don't know. I might enjoy the eating part. I might enjoy the dinner part, but I don't know about the washing part. The cleaning the house, you can knock yourself out. I don't care. You can tell everybody in the neighborhood, you have to come and clean my house. I'm okay with that because I love Molly Mays. So, this is a great question. Can I ask my coworker out? I think he's attractive, smart, intelligent, and handsome. No. What do you think?
I mean, I'm generally very nuanced. I would say it depends. I don't know your co-work situation.
Yeah.
I don't know what your shared responsibility is, et cetera, et cetera. I think for sure you should have a conversation about that. You know, there are some very clear ethical things, like if you're a therapist, you don't date your client,
exactly.
Right? If you're a doctor, you don't date your patient. Very
exactly.
Clear. Co-work, I don't really know the context, but I would have a conversation about it and not just ask him out, but, you know, speak like, hey, is this okay for us to do? I don't know.
All right. Is it appropriate for our first date to be on the beach? And if so, can I wear a bikini?
If you feel comfortable,
yeah.
it all depends on your level of comfort,
yeah,
and also how much communication have you had before that first date. Like, have you already been on a Zoom date? Have you had a phone call? Like, how much of a connection has already been established?
Yeah.
How comfortable do you feel?
Yeah.
Where do you feel you are safe? If you feel safe on the beach in your bikini, why not? If you feel like, oh, I'm not sure, maybe don't do it. Do it on a second date.
Yeah. Meet him for a cup of coffee and keep your clothes on. We don't want him to get the wrong idea, right? So, he'll see all of that soon enough. So cover your behind up. That's my opinion. So, oh, my gosh, I cannot believe we are down to 8 minutes. So what I'd like to do is I want to give you the opportunity to tell them anything you need to tell them about relationship and love and dating, and just tell us what we need to know.
Oh, beautiful. I mean, I feel like we really touched on a key point around creating the space to share your feelings honestly. And also, very, very importantly, validate each other's feelings, right? Like, we might not always agree, but you can for sure validate each other's experience.
Right.
And I feel like that's at the core of so much conflict. Another thing about, like, conflict with your partner, it's not necessarily a sign that something is wrong. It's just a sign that you're working through things together. So create the spaces and make sure that you get the support to talk through conflict and to use it as opportunities to get to know each other better, to use it as opportunities to reveal more of your own heart.
Right.
And I think that's a core point. Also, what is sort of underneath many of the questions that we're here today is about commitment.
Right.
What are we saying yes to together? And not just assume that because we're married, this is a commitment, right? Like, that's
right.
That's kind of an assumption and often not true. Like, really have an explicit conversation. This is what I'm saying yes to.
Right.
This is why I want to be with you, and this is what I commit to. And repeat it, because we don't know for the rest of our life.
We don't.
Like, I have a recommitment ceremony with my husband every year. We sit down. We look at, okay, how was the past year? And what do we want for the coming year? And are we out of full freedom?
I like
and
that.
Full joy saying yes again, right?
I really like that. That's a great idea, a recommitment ceremony, because sometimes you get so busy you do lose touch and reality in a relationship, and you always want to make sure that partner feels special and he knows he's important and that you love him very much regardless of what you're going through. So although we didn't touch on a lot of the questions, one thing I want to make sure that I want us to touch on is leave the children out of the relationship until you know that this is the one or you think this is the one. I think bringing children in, you know, days, weeks after you meet someone, I don't like that. I don't, you know. And never let the boyfriend babysit the children. Never.
No.
Horrible idea. No one asked that question, but I'm just putting my pieces in there. Boyfriends should not be babysitters, and if you don't have a babysitter, stay home with your children, whether they're his or not. Men don't have the same tolerance, patience as you do for your child. So I always say children are off limits.
Yeah.
So that's
I love that. I love that, and I do feel like for all people that want to become parents, please really, really consider deeply what that means.
Yes.
And make a very, very conscious decision that you have the space and the resources to raise a child in love.
Yes.
And otherwise don't do it.
Exactly, because the parent or the spouse or the person is not guaranteed to stay. They're not. They say they'll love you until the end of the world. You can plan this baby all you want to. Even husbands leave. So make sure, like she said, your financial and responsible enough to carry a child by yourself just in case. I always say have a plan B. What is your plan B? My nieces and nephews, whom I love to death, we're all community kids. We know we'll gather together, aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces. We'll come together as a community and make sure we have what each other needs. And, you know, that's what we have to get back to. But boyfriends should not be babysitters, especially if you know Day-Day is smoking weed. Okay, if he's sitting at home smoking weed, playing video games, and he doesn't like for you to interrupt him, how do you think he feels about a child? Can't let everybody watch your child. And that's the last thing I'm going to say about that. We are down to the last 4 minutes, and I really, again, appreciate you being a part of the Talk Blog today. We are excited. Yes, I see it. We are excited about sharing and having and having you be our special guest talking about dating during COVID. And I think we answered a lot of questions that we didn't. You know how to get in contact with her. You know how to get in contact with me on IITG Season Sister Speak. We thank you again for tuning in, Dating During COVID. Our special guest today was Maria Anna Winter out of Holland. And across the water she is, but she's available to speak with you, answer your questions, and also to be a part of your talk blog or show. So, again, we appreciate you being a part of IITG Season Sister Speak today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful.
Yes. So I'm Victoria and Russell Walton with IITG Season Sister Speak, a.k.a. Maryland's Big Diva. Today's topic was dating during, after, and before COVID and relationships. Having open conversations. One thing that Maria said that I love is speak the hurt, because, again, Superman is not who you're married to. And if they could read your minds, don't you think they would go and get the lottery numbers? And they can't. So let's make sure that we take care of each other, we love each other, and remind ourselves that we're here to support each other. We're only on this earth for a short while, so let's have a good time while we're here and be supportive and loving and kind to each other. We thank you again for being a part of our talk blog, and we look forward to seeing you next week at our original time at 1 o'clock p.m. So everyone, be blessed, be whole, and have a great week. Thank you again, Maria, for being our guest, and we'll see you next week, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Bye. Bye, Maria. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Awesome show. Finished. And we are finished. Finished. Awesome. It won't come down. There we go. Pop, pop, pop. This was a great show. Pop, pop, pop.